Hi guys, and welcome back to Clueless, the podcast. So, if you don't know where you're going in your life or where you want to go next, then this is the podcast for you. We're here to share our stories and hear from your experiences and hopefully inspire you guys to follow the career that you want to do and live the life that you want to live. As always, don't forget to follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and on Instagram at @Clueless_the_podcast_.
So this week, we're joined by the queen of jackets herself, Jessie Wilner. Jessie created her own jacket brand back in 2016, which quickly went viral when Gigi Hadid wore one of her custom jackets. The mighty company has since grown from strength to strength, with her products being praised by the likes of Vogue, Forbes, and Vanity Fair.
We'll be discussing Jessie's unconventional past, how sobriety motivated her to kickstart her fashion dream, and the advice that she would give to young people who have a dream but aren't sure how to make it into a reality. We haven't laughed so much in an episode, and we think you guys are going to love her.
Firstly, thank you so much, Jessie, for coming on to the podcast. We can't Absolutely. Wait just to hear a little bit more about your story and like how you've managed to rock the world of fashion.
What an intro.
What an intro. So for people who kind of don't know who you are, just kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Sure. So I founded the brand, The Mighty Company, 4 years ago. I currently am the creative director and CEO of said brand.
Girl boss.
So I can obviously tell you a bit more about that story, but that sums up what I do.
Amazing.
Cool. So kind of going back then to like when you were in school, high school and stuff, like what was your dream? Was it to like kind of start your own business in fashion? Like what were you like feeling you wanted to do with your life?
Well, I was a bit lost in high school, if I'm being honest. I had a pretty rocky journey. It's a very interesting story how I ended up here, but I graduated high school when I was 16, but that was that wasn't before I got expelled when I was 14 from high school. So when I was 16, I went back and got my technical diploma. So in America, you start high school at 14 usually, and you graduate when you're 17 or 18, depending on what part of the year you were born. But I skipped 2 grades. I started high school when I was 12, which was probably honestly a bad idea because all of my classmates were a couple years older than me. So I turned into a very bad kid really fast, really young. And so I got really heavily into drugs and alcohol when I was very, very young. And I became like a horrible student. I was really rebellious kid, and I got kicked out of school by the time I was 14. So I'd been in high school for 2 years and I got expelled. And then I was so stubborn. I refused to go back to school, refused to go back to another school. Kind of just living my life, you know, ran away a few times. That's a whole other story if you want to get into it. I know. So basically, by the time I was 15, and this sounds really funny, but I got clean. I got sober. So I overdosed, ended up in the hospital. It was a huge, like, life. I know by the time I was 15, this was happening to me. And then it was a bit of a wake-up call, obviously, of the type of path I was going down, had been going down. So then I really tried really hard to get my life together, got totally sober. I'm still sober. So I'm 28 now. So it's been 13 years. Yeah. So then I basically never really properly went back to school. I got my diploma when I was just 16. That was right after all that kind of happened. And then I was out of school. So the thing was that when I was younger, and even throughout those rocky kind of years, I was always really passionate about art and always took up different fields of art, did different things. When I was 11 or 12, I taught myself coding and graphic design. It was when the internet was becoming a thing. I would go on dial-up, but at the beginning, it would take 2 minutes for a page to load. No, but I was obsessed with the fact that you could create web pages, all these things. I wanted to learn how to do it. So I kind of learned all that stuff really young. So then once I was trying to kind of get my life together and figure out what direction I was going. I just started doing freelance graphic design, coding.
That's cool.
Yeah, things like that. Started working in different parts of visual design, making art, just doing all these different projects, working for different people, doing personal projects. I was just kind of like figuring it out. And that I kind of just started doing that for a living. So I never went to college or university. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had such an unconventional teenagehood that it didn't really, college didn't really seem like the next step for me.
Yeah. So you never even considered going, really. You were just kind of like,
No, I mean, it was hard enough for me to get through high school. Yeah. So I barely made it by the skin of my teeth. But I had such a passion for self-educating, and I really grew up using the internet to learn everything that I wanted to learn. And that was always really kind of the guiding force through all of those years and everything that was going on, was just, I was so passionate about making things, whatever they were. I just like loved making things, and it always kept me kind of sane and balanced with everything that had gone on. And so, and that kind of became like my outlet for everything. Was I started kind of like almost fervently to a fault working in the creative fields. And I would work crazy hours, and I would stay up all night, and I would just be working on all these projects and like creating all these ideas, or if it was work for someone else. And then so basically by the time I was 17, I moved out. I got myself this like really shitty apartment in downtown Los Angeles. It was like an art, it was a rent controlled loft that was for artists. Basically only artists could rent from there. And yeah, it was like $400 month for you had a shared bathroom. It was a great setup. Anyways,
sounds good. Good times.
So then by then I was just doing all this freelance design, different things like that. So basically, by my late teens, I did upgrade the loft, believe it or not. I did move into a proper place and then a house and whatever as time went on. But so it was kind of like, though, I had this head start on starting my life or career and figuring out what I wanted to do. And I didn't know exactly what that was, but I just always knew I wanted to make things and create things that made some impact on other people, whatever way or shape or form that was. So I was just doing every form of that I could get my hands on, really. But by starting my life when I was 16 or 17, really, I kind of had this head start on people who, all of my peers or friends who were going through college or a much more conventional life of education and experience, and were starting when they were 22, you know?
Yeah, or so, 23. Like, that's just me and Zara at the moment, basically, just coming out of uni now at like 22, 23.
And you were like grinding by then.
Yeah, already, like, in a really, like, no, working your way up, and we're literally just starting out now, which is just crazy. And I think that's so cool how you did start so early, and actually just, you knew what you were passionate about and thought, you know what, college just isn't for me.
Yeah. And I think it just, I mean, I think everyone's route is very valid, because something I always envied about my friends who did go to college is they had all of these projects they were given to work on, or all these all this dedicated time to just do things that were super personal or their own ideas. And like, that is also invaluable too. And I did that to a degree, but I think the thing that I learned from that period of time, though, is the thing that evolves you the most, I guess, is just doing things, making things, going into action about things, not just thinking about things or considering things or trying to figure it all out. It's like really the action that changes you and changes your art or your ability or anything. It moves it along so much faster. And I even learned that about, even from the education point of view, of just watching videos, reading tutorials, like searching the internet, reading books, trying to figure things out I didn't know how to do.
Yeah.
And not thinking too much about what that would mean or what where I was going with it or anything like that.
That's so cool though, especially like in now in this day and age, I feel like anyone can like you're the definition of that. Like you didn't need to go to like some fancy art school. You were just like, nah, I'm gonna start this. Like I'm gonna just get grinding now when I'm 17.
So, like, right.
When did you kind of think like, okay, now actually I could actually start my own business? Like how, like when did you kind of start going on it and like get it all setting up and stuff like that?
So I kind of started doing random projects that were, I guess, on the peripheral rim of fashion. Like I started making these t-shirts and I would kind of have my friends wear them and sell them like to people kind of that I knew. And I kind of started doing that in my teens, like interspersed with all the other things I was working on. And then, you know, in my early 20s, I thought, you know, I had such an affinity for art and for making things and having that. Like my grandmother was a career artist. She just was an artist. She taught art. She made art for her entire life till she was 95. And she was still teaching art classes. I know. So I had kind of this shining example that even in a much more traditional time, you could just do something you loved and you didn't have to follow the norm. And so, but also that kind of taught me that, you know, you should really make things that people can have forever or cherish forever or pass down, because she really instilled that in me. She also passed down so much of her art to me. Every time I would go to her studio, she lived in New Jersey, I would get to pick something out. I would get to take something with me. Like she would collect all these things, she also actually went to school for fashion. So she started in fashion and then became kind of this all around multimedia artist from that, which I thought was so interesting, that because she always really felt like fashion was, you know, living, breathing art. And she would always talk to me about that. So I kind of went the reverse way. I did all these random things in art. And then, you know, when I was thinking, I just wanted to put some structure into what I was doing, I guess. And obviously business is the way to do that, but just trying to think what I would actually want to create. And so I didn't want to just create, I guess, flimsy things to wear that were kind of cute and, you know, that great and then they'll go away. Or even, you know, you can buy like a $400 amazing silk button-up blouse from an incredible designer, and if you love it and you wear the shit out of it, it's gonna be destroyed in a couple years.
Yeah.
And there was just something really sad about that to me. So I just thought, why don't I make something you can wear that feels super unique and kind of feels like it maybe can change your mood or do something like how art can, or kind of make you think about things, but something you can wear that has the potential to last you for generations, or at least your lifetime, pass through the generations, I mean. And so that was kind of why I started making jackets, because there's only a few things I felt like in fashion that had that quality. Mm-hmm. And jackets were one of them. They were just this classic thing that if you inherited like mom's leather jacket, or there was just something so cool about that. And it actually got better the older it was, instead of
vintage.
Like, and there's nothing else that really had that quality, because even a handbag or shoes, which I think are maybe the closest things, when they start to get kind of beat up, you're like, oh god, you know. So people just have this mentality about things that once they're older, they're not as good or whatever. And, you know, obviously with certain items of clothing. So I just wanted to kind of do something that went against that and make things that were really unique but could last you forever. And if you spent the money on it, you actually would have it for way longer than that money would cost you buying individual things that were going to fall apart. So that was kind of what led me to deciding to start the brand. And so I started designing jackets. It took me a couple of years to figure out, while I was doing other things, I was, you know, still doing freelance graphic design, like all of these different projects. While I was developing the company, because I had to, you know, make money. And I, so then I basically the biggest learning curve was figuring out the technical aspect of making garments. And
how the hell do you do that?
Absolutely no idea. Well, really, which I would say for this is true for anyone in any field, is just ask a million questions and find people who know what they're talking about and who, you know, would want to help you and like latch yourselves onto them, and not in a negative way, but like obviously there's a reciprocal a healthy way. There's obviously a reciprocal aspect to that. Like I would always try to do anything I could for people who helped me back, whether that was help, you know, the skills I had and do work for them or whatever. But it's so important that you just get all the information and answers you can, because where else are you going to learn things other than from people who have gone through it? So it was kind of like finding different mentors, different people, like, you know, really, I'm a bit fiery, but one thing I always had a trouble with was asking for help, I think. Mm-hmm. And my father always said, always ask for anything that you want. What's the worst that's going to happen? Like, and I think in hindsight, that is such a true thing. Like, even if it makes you uncomfortable, just like ask and try to get everything you can out of your environment, out of people you meet, like everything. And it's not like, and I think then you gather all information, like slowly but surely you just start to learn and become competent in that field because you're putting those things into action and as you're going through it. And I met so many people, and then one person would like, I would talk to who would tell about what I was trying to do, would lead to another person. And I kind of just like figured things out, and then they would lead to like this amazing sewer or this pattern maker, or, you know, and I started with not a great foundation, because I think like the first samples I made were so bad. And I mean, which is really true for anything. Like, are you ever going to start in a field and make something and it's going to be perfect? Like, exactly. You're going to make absolute shit for probably quite a while, honestly, until you, and also getting feedback. And it's hard because you have to balance people, like if people are being negative or people are trying to actually help you and guide you. Yeah. And you have to really see the difference between the two, because I had a lot of people who were more on the negative side of things and thought like it was an absolute waste what I was doing, because like I had no education. I was just like this young, like basic, I looked like I was probably 17 years old even when I was in my early 20s. Like they were just like, what are you doing? Like, you know, like cool, good luck. Like it was I definitely encountered a lot of people in the industry like that who just thought I was like a joke, and that's fine too. Like that's okay, because it hurts your feelings, but also like you just have to know yourself and know that you can just be persistent. And there was so many people who were so amazing too. So I think, you know, once my like shit samples ended up getting like a little bit better, and I started getting good feedback and good direction, and also just, you know, really knowing what I wanted to make and kept trying until I got closer to that. And then through that process, meeting better and better people in the construction industry of, who are actually making the things. Cause at first you just also don't know if something's a good quality or bad. So that was really what I had to learn, was the construction, the quality, the different, everything that goes into obviously like making a pattern, which they then use to make that cut all of the materials to then sew together, and tells you exactly what techniques to do that with. And, you know, all those things that you just have no idea about. So that was quite a learning curve. And I just kind of took as long as I needed to really get it to the quality I wanted it to be, because I wanted to make a luxury item that, like I said, could last forever. So I did that, and then we launched. That was the end of this pre-chapter. Of my wild runway up to the point of when we launched. And then there you go.
Well, respect for you for just like going and doing it, even though you hadn't had any experience with the jackets and just kind of learning and asking for help, I think, yeah, that's super inspiring. So you've like, you're absolutely smashing it though. Like, you've had the Mighty Company now for 4 years and it's doing really well. But were there any kind of doubts at the start or at the early stages of it? You know, with the people were saying like, oh, they had doubts about like what you're actually doing. Like, you just seemed like a 17-year-old girl, didn't really have a clue. Like, how did you kind of deal with that?
So again, just being really persistent. And when I felt like there were so many times that I extremely doubted myself, and thought I wasn't making anything good and I didn't know what I was doing. And I didn't know how I ended up here. But I think if you can just have a prevailing mentality of knowing that you're just going to keep going, it actually overcomes that. So sometimes I wouldn't be able to mentally overcome the fact that I felt like a low self-esteem or confidence about what I was doing, because like sometimes you just don't have the mental willpower to be like, actually, I am amazing. I and like really believe it. Like, it, you know, you can kind of do that and it actually does help to a large degree, but sometimes you're still, it doesn't like erase those other thoughts of self-doubt. Yeah. And that was something I had to realize, that like, I couldn't actually erase those sometimes, but what I could do was work my ass off and I could be persistent, and that would actually prevail those other thoughts. Because if I just kept doing what I was doing, those things would fall to the wayside and it would be okay. And that's all. I think that just happened. And now I can see that that's how I got through any periods of time like that, or moments like that, but it was just to keep going. And, you know, I love the idea that you can't ever really fail. You can just stop trying. And
that's a good quote, actually.
Yeah, I think I read a quote like that somewhere once and it really stuck with me. It was just like, you actually can't fail. You just can stop being persistent. You can stop trying. And that's true, because you can see people everywhere in the world who maybe you look at and think, oh, they're not the most talented, or God, like what they're doing is annoying. And I'm not trying to be what sound anything, but I'm just saying, but they're super successful, right? Or maybe they're like not the nicest person or something like that, but they're super successful. And you're like, what's the difference between that and then someone who's like such an incredible person, has been, you know, has great talent? It's really, to me, what I've noticed, at least in the life I've lived of this time, is it's just persistence and it's just working and a work ethic. And those people, sometimes even people with a bad work ethic, they're just really persistent and they just, like, again, they keep asking, they keep pushing forward, they keep doing what they're doing, they keep like being that person and pushing their idea or what they're doing forward, and it works. It just works. No, so it's like, that's all you can do is just keep going. And that is the difference between success and failure, because it's not like every idea you have is great, but sometimes even really bad ideas with enough persistence become successful, or they evolve into something because you keep going. You're like, oh, this isn't really working. Okay, I'm going to change it. Okay, I'm going to change it again. Okay, oh, now it's working. Great. Like, because you just keep going. Totally. So that's all.
Yeah. Well, you're killing it. You're killing it now. I mean, what is it like seeing somebody like, I don't know, like Gigi Hadid wearing one of your jackets? Like, you must have been like, whoa, this is like, this is hella big now. Like, what did it feel like?
Yeah, there's definitely been a lot of surreal moments and different defining times over the span of from when we started. And I think moments like that definitely have felt really unreal. And, you know, I think sometimes it's hard because everything kind of can blend together when you're just like going. And a friend said to me recently, like, okay, sometimes we get so used to bracing ourselves for all the bad parts of what we do. He is a business owner, you know, entrepreneurial too. And he was like, that we actually build up this kind of shield to feeling things. And he was like, but we have to take a second when really good things happen and bask in that. And actually appreciate those high moments, because we're like trying to protect ourselves from like the low, like, you know, like, oh my God, now I can deal with this. Oh, this problem. Because that does just happen. You're just thrown unbelievable amounts of unexpected things and turns when you're running a business. But so that's kind of like such a great way to say it, which sounds, because there isn't a moment where you're like something incredible happens and you're like, I feel the best I've ever felt. You're just like, oh my God, this is what it feels like to like have success in some way. Oh, cool. Like, it doesn't change your mentality about yourself necessarily or what you're doing. It's just like this acknowledgement that, okay, maybe you're going along the right path and doing the right thing. And that's what feels very gratifying, you know? And if you like, I'm trying to give myself in those moments what kind of he was saying, where you actually are like, okay, wait, let's take a second, this isn't a normal thing, this is really cool. So yeah,
super cool. And like, now you featured it in like Forbes and Vogue, like you've had so much success, and obviously it must be like quite a lot to take in, but taking that moment I think is so important, just to see like how far you've come and what you've achieved. And I know so many people like kind of dream of like being in your position and starting their own business, and I'm sure you didn't imagine that one day you'd be like at the success you are. So can you kind of like describe what the reality is actually like of owning your own business and what your kind of typical day is?
Yeah, sure. It's a lot less glamorous than anyone would maybe think, the way you're describing it. But, you know, so a typical day changes a lot, but, you know, I kind of oversee our day-to-day business, and then my business partner, Hanover, so she runs all of our operations, and so I kind of work really closely with her, and then the head of our production, and we're all really close friends. It's almost kind of a bit of a family at the company, because we kind of like just like to keep all of our employees, or everyone we work with, is we either were friends with them first and we hired them, or, you know, we became like that after we hired them, and it's kind of a bit of a tight-knit family. So we all work really well together and closely together. And it depends really on the time of year, time of month, everything of what my day-to-day looks like, because sometimes that's producing a shoot, or if it's in the throes of when I'm doing like all the design for our new collection, or coordinating with our factories, or going through all the samples of a new thing that we're making or developing. But typically it's just running the business, and it's like kind of just doing the minutiae of what that consists of, and overseeing all of the functions of our marketing, our budgeting, our finances, our, you know, all the independent targets that we try to hit weekly, all of these things, and like making sure we're on track for all those things. And it's really easy to get pulled in a million different directions and kind of just be caught up in that. So I think you also have to be looking at the bigger picture, like milestones you want to hit, because I think I could probably for the rest of my life just be managing the small day-to-day actions. But me and Hanover will always try to kind of step back and have more executive meetings where we can figure out what we want to do this quarter, or, you know, all the different things. And if we're on track for all those targets, which are a bit more lofty or more like conceptual rather than, and then there's like the individual monetary targets or this or that, and the business side of things. So yeah, I think it really varies. It's literally a different thing every day, week, but all of those things are kind of consistent of the business aspect of things. And then, you know, running all the creative just kind of takes you into all these different directions, because anything visual that has to do with the brand at all, I either make or approve or orchestrate. So
you're the boss.
But sometimes it's hard to switch between those two things of being very focused on the organization of things and then doing something that's like totally a different feeling, like, completely in the creative. So yeah, so sometimes I just have to get in totally different headspaces for those things. And it changes a lot, but it's always consistently, I'm always doing the business organization end of things. And then as we have different creative targets or seasonally, depending on when we're, you know, developing collections, that kind of gets interspersed.
And it's quite nice. It seems like you have a really close kind of team of like your friends and stuff. So that must be kind of nice as well.
Yeah, I think that's really important too, to be doing things that you like with people that you like.
Yeah, well, if you're doing like 16-hour days, then you've got to be surrounded by people that you like.
Yeah, I think people don't do that enough, honestly. I think people, whatever. It's very unconventional how the whole thing to start. So maybe the way that we've hired people or worked with people is also unconventional, but like, I'd rather hire someone maybe with less experience who I really believe can come up to a certain level or, learn everything really fast than someone with tons of experience who I maybe don't get along with as well, or doesn't seem like as excited about what they'd be doing, because I think like excitement and passion kind of just like makes you able to do anything and learn anything. And so that's always kind of how we've hired people or decided who we're going to work with.
Because like, so many jobs you're like applying, it's like you need like 10 years experience, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm 23, like I can't have any of this.
What
stuff.
Do you
like,
want from me?
I would totally hire someone more of how they could, I would have a conversation with them than maybe something that was on paper. So I think more people maybe should have that mentality, but what do I know, you know?
how do you like, I don't know, how do you stay like motivated, you know, if you have any like difficult times, or maybe even Corona, where you like, oh my god, like how am I going to keep going? Like, how do you keep on keeping on?
I think just following what excites you about what you're doing. Luckily, I've built a business around something that I love to do, so it makes it a little bit easier than something you're just showing up to do because you're supposed to. And I think that makes a really big difference. And yeah, so even like the last few months, obviously, we were kind of just like getting ready to prepare for, you know, storm, and kind of like we knew everything was shutting down and the industry itself was kind of shutting down. Obviously, all our physical stores we were in were closing. So we just knew it was probably going to be a rough few months. But then we were like, what can we do during this time? We started making masks out of all these old amazing fabrics that we had developed that we had left over from other productions. And we started selling them, and we started donating a mask for every, and sewing and donating a mask for everyone that we sold to this amazing shelter in downtown Los Angeles that was super in need of them. And it just became this little passion project. We thought we'd maybe sell, I don't know, just like something. We made about 2 weeks worth of what we thought we'd sell. It sold out in 24-ish hours.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it just like went totally viral, and we started having to increase, we were using, you know, our resources that we had, the sewers, fabrics, all these things that we had access to that other people wouldn't have access to make the same thing. But we started to, like, within a week we had outgrown all of that production ability. And so we opened 3 productions, and it exploded, and it grew so, so, so fast. So we were just like trying to keep up and trying to not have everything be sold out and trying to make things faster than they were selling, which it hasn't actually slowed down. So and then managing that. So yeah, I think like anytime, that was a huge learning lesson for us, because it was something we didn't necessarily expect anything to result really from. It was just something that we wanted to do because we could, and everything else was kind of on pause.
That's amazing. Yeah. And then, like, just being able to diversify your stuff and like do something as cool as like the masks, and obviously it's such a needed time for them. I just think, yeah, it's like, such a good thing. So actually your business is kind of been busier since Corona then.
It actually has, which is so strange. I mean, and it's obviously a different setting because, like, you're doing things on video call or this or that. But yeah, like, it's been our busiest month all year. You know, crazy, what was the first month that we started making the masks. So, yeah, it's crazy.
So, I mean, what's the kind of future then for you, your business? Like, what do you see for the future?
I think, well, we're kind of expanding into different things. There's lots of things I'm developing right now that are really exciting to me, but we're kind of like developing actual, very different categories and things. And I think this time actually has weirdly given me, it's allowed me to kind of step back from what I was describing as like the day-to-day grind of things and have a lot more time to think about where I want to be with the company in the next few years or 5 years. And so we're developing lots of things that kind of make sense along that bigger picture timeline of things that I'm really, really excited about. And
so everybody keep your eyes peeled.
I'm just being like very vaguely, but I sound really mysterious. I'm like
thank you so much, Jessie, for just going into everything and explaining all like what you're doing. It's so exciting what you've done, what you've achieved, and what's coming in the future as well. So just kind of rounding it off with our last question that we like to ask every guest we have on is kind of what advice would you have to someone who's in their 20s, who's maybe a bit unsure about what steps to take next and maybe is feeling a bit lost in life? Like, what would you say to them?
I would probably just say to figure out what work you love doing and figure out how to make that into something you can do every day. And maybe what you initially think that will look like is totally wrong, but just go through the motions of that. And even if you're working another job while you're going through the motions of that, do it. Like, even if it means like you're sacrificing some of the other things, you know, in your life that are like temporarily fun or this or that, but doing that to follow something that you would hopefully do for the rest of your life and making that into something that can be a career for you, just do it. Just go through the motions of it day by day. Like, don't even get overwhelmed by it, but just figure out. And if you're horrible at something that you love to do, just practice it every day and get better at it and keep trying to do it. Because honestly, it's so easy to stop and just go through the normal, ordinary flow of life and have a job that you're pretty good at or mediocre at or anything in between or whatever, horrible, I don't know, and that you have to just show up for and look forward to the weekend and, you know, hope that one day you can retire and count down the days. Like, just, you know, if you don't picture your life like that, then just don't let that be your life. Just do everything you can to not have that be your life. Even if you don't believe in yourself, just go through the motions as if you do. And that's all. And it will absolutely work out because those motions will lead you to something at the very least that you like to do more, even if it is an ordinary job or even if it is just more in a different field or whatever. Like, each step that you take to counteract that or just go towards something you love will take you closer to that, you know? I think that's all. That's
some solid advice. And it's been crazy just to hear about like your life story and like how you got to where you got to.
Sorry about me.
No, it's like, it's crazy. No, like, it's so inspiring. Like, you're the definition of like, you don't need to go to like this fancy school and do this. Like, you're just like, nah, grind it out. And now you're involved in Forbes, you're killing it. Where can everyone find you and your clothes? Plug yourself, plug away.
Yeah, I mean, pretty easy to remember. Just go Google The Mighty Company and you'll be fine. So that'll take you where you need to go.
Well, thank you so much again. It's been so cool talking to you and just finding out a bit about you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you so much, Jessie, again, for coming onto the podcast. I think we both had a great time. Wouldn't you agree, Zara? I think she was just a breath of fresh air. Her story, and she was so open about her past, what she's been able to achieve, and just her persistence and her motivation. Like, it seems like she did say she had a few self-doubts, but just her personality just is so strong, and just to keep going, I think it's just really, really incredible. And I loved hearing her story and feel super inspired now.
Yeah, we've got to start chasing our dreams, guys. Thank you so much again, Jessie. It was such a great episode, and we laughed a lot. As always, guys, thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and leave a little rating if you could, please. On Instagram at @ClueThisPodcast_. Thank you so much again, guys, and I look forward to hearing from you all and speaking to you all next week.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh.